Thank you for coming, for attending this Dharma Talk. Thank you for all of your help in supporting this community, both by attending, by practicing, and by financially supporting us. We need your help. Please continue if you can.
Any really solid reference point for anything. But the ego mind, the self-centered mind, the narcissistic mind, the grasping, rejecting, and shutting down mind wants some kind of reference point. And it will look around for what, relatively positive ones. And if they don't work, it'll just start looking for the negative ones. It's because of you. It's because of you. That's what's causing this. And that, especially if there is some situation happening there where that person or that situation did trigger that reactive behavior of blaming, that reactive behavior of shutting down on what's arising and opting for what you think caused it. You don't know what causes anything. Grow up would be one way of saying this to you. Just grow up. Not blaming anybody for anything. That doesn't mean, as I said, I'm trying to make sure you see this. That doesn't mean there isn't powerful cause and effect going on everywhere in the world. And you perhaps probably should stop in there and intercept or interrupt or interact with someone who is harming someone else. Of course, that's very, very situational. You do it as it shows up. Do not have an agenda about anything unless you've received this vow formally or informally. Unless you've received the vow to be with all things. Simple statement. Be with all things. Don't object. Don't agree. Don't shut down. Don't do anything with it. And of course, the practice is seeing how much you can't quite do that. You're always pushing or you're always reacting. But by observing that vow and endeavoring or intending to follow that vow, the consciousness, because consciousness is not a thing, the consciousness is everywhere. The consciousness that is near the pointed end of that behavior starts to go, starts to open up, starts to see. And the this is when it said everything is co-emergent, wisdom and delusion arise together. That's because through the intention, not cause and effect, through the intention, the awareness is finally out at the leading edge of the misery, the leading edge of the confusion, the leading edge of what is disturbing you. It has nothing to do with right or wrong, correct or incorrect, sound or no sound. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't matter what happens. But you shouldn't take your eyes off from it anywhere through any of the sense fields. Don't stop listening. Don't stop seeing. And when I say don't stop listening by interpreting what you're hearing. Don't stop seeing by leaving what's in front of you for what you think about it. And if you do that, then be very aware that you've just receded away from the truth into your own stupid mind frame. I like it. I don't like it. It's good. It's bad. It should be. It shouldn't be. So fruitionally, in other words, if you see what this is, and once you see it, it just doesn't go away. If you have flashes of it, then it contracts it, because there's still the self-centeredness has not been seen through yet. So, but one begins to see through aspects of relative truth, including the thought patterns, including the emotions, including what's happening out here in the world. We begin to have flashes of insight about. Sometimes they're so overwhelming, we think we've attained enlightenment. I can help you right there. There's no way you can attain enlightenment. There is no such thing. There's a name for something that refers to that, but your idea about what that is when you leave that for what you think about it, that's not going to happen. It's not an occurrence. It's not an experience. Chew on that. Or don't. It's beyond that. That's why it's called transcendence. We have a lazy word that can't quite climb up the mountain, so we just call it transcendence. You said, no way you can describe this. If you describe it, that's not it. Even if it's it, it's not it. It's beyond that. It's better than that. It's worse than that. It's worse than that because it's complete failure for the ego mind. It's complete failure for the grasping mind, the rejecting mind, the controlling mind, the paranoid mind. The mind that is full of delusion. But it is better than that because it is ultimate fundamental realization of what this is and who you are. And the fear-based ego just comes apart. And as if it might disappear, depending on your particular karma, and it might hang around and try to get your attention, but you know it's unreal, so you might hear it, might listen to it. You know, those people are doing it. This person said, you ever hear what that person said? You're saying to yourself, they're disrespecting you. You should do something about that. No, you might see that, you might have that interpretation, but you know there isn't anyone. Not only is there no one here to be disrespected, there's no one there to be disrespecting anyone. And you see it. You see it. It's not an opinion. It's not something you can ever get rid of. And it's not something you ever have to defend. If someone comes up to you and said and challenges you, what makes you think you're enlightened? You're sitting there teaching people. That's when you punch them. I mean, you may, not always so. You have no reference point. It may be the very best thing you can do for that person, not because of your idea, your calculation about it. Just to spit right in their face. And the other way is to drop to their feet. You just encountered the Buddha. You won't know. If you know, if you think you know, this is the very nature of delusion, to think you know anything. What was the title of the song?
What you think or feel.
So what you think or feel doesn't mean there isn't a powerful relative truth going on, of course. But that's not the final say-so on the matter. But the feeling should not be ignored, either by necessarily medicating yourself, but maybe you need to do that. I'm not taking that away. Maybe that is an area. But that should be considered, that, and you should be very aware that that's what you're doing if you are, you know, taking a few slugs of Jack Daniels, self-medicating the bottles, I guess, or any other way. I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but when that is done as a way or methodology for stopping how you feel, then at least be very, very aware of that. Sit a lot, spend a lot of time sitting down and honing the blade of Prajna, honing that double-edged sword of Manjushri. This is Manjushri. This is Manjushri. The sword is double-edged because it cuts both ways, as Trungpa Rinpoche talks about in his teaching. Cuts through self and it cuts through other. And those polarities disappear. Yet there's this rich, colorful, vivid display, which is what? An illusion. But you can dance in that illusion. You can move in that illusion. You could actually fundamentally enjoy yourself without any threats. And if threats come, receive. Anything that shows up has its own credential for being there. It may be very slim or thin, wafer-like, but eat it anyway. Take it, receive it. Whatever shows up, receive it. Do not add to anything that shows up. But if you do add to it, here again, I'm repeating myself over and over and over again. If you do add to it, then immediately be aware of the addition rather than try to stop the addition, try to validate the addition or ignore the addition. When I say, when something arises in Shikantaza practice of don't add, don't subtract, don't divide, it's also mainly about awareness, not about controlling yourself so that you become someone who never adds or someone who's getting a really powerful mindfulness practice and feels very stable. And this is just, could be a very long delay. So be very careful when you read about, if you do, any maintenance states or any state of tranquility that is untouchable, or any jhana states where you've entered some kind of a realm of complete peace, tranquility, silence, and without movement. Maybe so, but temporary. And this is where you live. And this is where you are. Everything is shifting and moving. Don't abandon the world for some mountaintop. Take a few minutes out every day. Or your own mountaintop right here, one that you can actually carry with you. Everywhere you go, it's a retreat hut. Once you've understood what retreat is, and you may not understand that until you separate yourself from your everyday environment, sit down, hold still, go into a seclusion and sit there and watch that for a while. Then you begin to get an understanding of what that is. And you'll see that that never leaves you. Mainly because there isn't anyone. So it can't. There's only, it can only separate if you feel like you are someone who's getting better. You are somebody who's getting worse. Just based on your thoughts and emotions. Don't discount them. Don't go the other way. And I'm not going to believe them. I'm not talking about belief and disbelief other than to say, don't believe it. Don't disbelieve it. And don't ignore it. And if you do that, then reality will manifest in the way that it needs to, which is consciousness only. And it won't, consciousness won't belong to anybody. There's no boundary between us. So if we look and here we are, a separate being, this is the illusion. This is the illusion. If you see it, it won't be important whether this makes a noise or doesn't make a noise. You're all through with discounting it or ignoring it. You're all through with relative truth, other than the way in which it shows up. Enjoy that. What is that old saying? Have a sense of humor. I think that was originally in Sanskrit. Yes. So, can go on a little bit further. What was the talk then?
What you think or feel.
What I think or feel? Or what you think or feel? Is this, what is that? Is that a mudra? Can you help me with that? Ask me a question of that is about that.
When you're bowing, you just said enjoy the way relative truth shows up.
Yes.
So if we think about all the ways that relative truth is showing up in this world, it looks pretty devastating.
Don't think about it. Don't think I said receive it. It may, if you're watching CNN, or if you're watching anything or listening to anything or another person or the news media, receive that. But as far as what I'm saying is just what shows up right now in front of you in your life, in your living room, out in the yard. Just dance with that. That doesn't necessarily mean you're dancing around, but you're with everything that's there, with the sounds, with the movement of others, watching someone walk across the yard, see that that is there, but it is unreal. More?
And you're bowing, and the unreality of that situation is what?
Well, you could say that it's impermanent. That's one way of saying it. But a more immediate way of saying it, rather than use the time-based understanding of impermanence, just see that it's unreal as it is. As it is, it's what you're looking at is the unreality. The actual situation that seems so solid and dependable, whether it's this or it's how you feel about something that just happened, look at the intensity of it, the texture of it, rather than what it points to. And that way you have a question?
No.
More?
When you're bowing, so is it the impermanence that makes it unreal?
I just said that is one way of talking about it, that it shows up and goes away, shows up and goes away. So that's, it's not stable in that way. We'll never return again, particularly. But this is not, this, I'm looking at you. This is, there's nothing stable about this. It's stable somewhat, and it's easy to project your ideation, your comments, your criticisms, your calculations, your conventional conclusions about everything. It's just wide open area. Everything is saying, I'm here and this is there and can't run through this wall, and everything is creating the illusion because consciousness is operating with human form. But this won't last, so that's part of it. But that's not going to be helpful to you to just to say death comes without warning, this body will be a corpse at that time. The Dharma will be my only help. I must practice it with exertion. So one of the four reminders. But and that helps you intellectually, but what helps you fundamentally is the awareness practice, which is sit down, hold still, look at the law, and whatever shows up in the mainstream, just receive it, just receive it, just receive it. No comment. If you can't receive it with no comment, your experience of sitting meditation, shikantaza, is what I'm teaching, is you will have less and less the feeling that you're making any progress or getting any. Things may show up in your dream consciousness that are unusual or different, so some things can happen there, but mainly this shikantaza, sitting still, and just watching the movement of the mind, there will be less and less and less as you go along over the years. And there even could be more and more being present, just being with things in its most simple way. If someone comes in that you have some difficulty with, at times you might see more deeply into the causes and conditions that are immediately 3 or 4 inches back behind this screen called the present moment. You may see that this person is escaping their suffering by being disagreeable or being hard to follow, or they might be just filling up the space with everything. You've all met somebody, maybe you're one of them, who just talks constantly about everything. And if they don't talk constantly, when they do talk, they talk at right angles. Everything has some kind of a vortex in it that goes this way or that way. There's no directness. Sit down across from someone in the restaurant or in the living room or wherever you may be, and fundamentally listen to them. And when they say something back, respond, have some kind of response. But that's it. The ongoing conversation that's part of the illusion. That's how we generate a self who's upset. And then pad that situation, cover that thing up so consciousness or awareness can't get in there to dismantle it, which consciousness is always available to dismantle everything. And eventually it runs into the situation where there isn't anything left to dismantle. Everything has fallen apart. Everything has collapsed. So then everything that arises can arise out of the vow. Or can arise out of reality, would be another way of saying it. It can actually show up as the truth moment by moment by moment, even though there aren't any moments. It just participates. It uses those invisible stair steps. And every time you step on one of those, as soon as you step off, it vanishes. The only reality that has is contact. Of the 12 links on the chain of existence. Just the contact. That's the strongest part of the illusion, is that everything else you're creating around it to make that important. Think about it. Reflect on it. Sit down and don't think about it. You can do this. It's not an accomplishment. It's not over there. It's right here. This is it right now. You can awaken right now. I would even say to you, you are awake right now, other than your cover-ups of what this is. This is very, very, for the ego, this is very difficult to just see that awakening. A closed fist, awakening is completely full of receptivity and generosity. Not two, and not one. Don't jump to any conclusion. More questions if you have?
Paoshan bowing. How do we simply receive thoughts? Bowing.
Just think. Sit down. Think. Just watch them go. It's very simple. There's other ways of teaching this. And one of them, the one I studied for many years, was when thoughts arise, label the thoughts. And in other words, put them over here and then go back to something very simple like the breath. And that has a lot of power in it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. If you're doing what I say as an instruction, you might be doing quite a bit of just observing the breath. But I don't tell you to reject thoughts or to set them aside or to boycott them or any of the other things that Trungpa Rinpoche talks about. He was trained in very traditional medieval practice. And it's not wrong. It's extremely, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that teaching. It's just that now that this is here, I'm telling you this is a little bit more, less filled with form. We have some forms, but as I see it, only enough to support the practice so you can liberate yourself, not join not be part of an ancient tradition. That being said, we need the ancient tradition. We need the lineage, all of them, all these lineages going back. We need all of these in order to support this. So there's some kind of continuity, albeit an illusion. Something's some kind of basis for this. This is not something you believe in. More.
Akash, I'm bowing. Are you saying then to receive thoughts, we also receive what we add?
Yes. Yes, if you're on receive, that eventually at first you're receiving thoughts. But then as soon as you start to think about what people are thinking about what you're thinking or what you've been thinking, all of that constant addition and changing up things up, that you at some point, or maybe they're not points, maybe there's several points, maybe there's no points, maybe. But it's in some area, everything that is an outflow, as soon as it starts to go out, you immediately are receiving it. So that, because of the nature of consciousness, it doesn't have a past and future. You're actually functioning in eternity. And even that's just bullshit. I mean, it's just a word to name something you can't name. It's a very, very offensive to hear someone name something it can't be named. If you know what it is, you're looking at it. And you actually hear other people presume to know about this and teach about things. When I say it's offensive, I'm just saying, it's irritating to watch a person showing forth to be a teacher, and I'm not going to name anyone. That would be rude to do that to anyone. But to see a teacher take people in circles so they have as a captive audience, not a good idea. More?
Gosh, I'm bowing. Are you saying that we can receive what we outflow simultaneously?
Yes. Yeah, in that area, there's no time. Well, even simultaneous is implying that there's some kind of otherness that is not simultaneous. So this is just looking at concepts. They're very helpful until you understand that concepts are not, it's not the truth. They're ways of working with consciousness. From beginning of time, we've slowly gotten to the point where we have languages, and one of the masters of language in the English language, of course, is Shakespeare. And I think when you was thinking about actually studying Shakespeare as a group, so if that shows up, I will come to that, especially if you're starting out with Midsummer Night's Dream, my favorite one. Yes.
Bien bowing, what does it mean to be direct with others and also direct with myself?
To not know, no matter what, how you feel, going back to the title or the topic, no matter how you feel, always direct. It's always others first. No matter how crappy you feel, there's no outflow of to try to get rid of your crap by blaming someone. Even though that person or situation seems to be a causation, that's personalizing pratityasamutpada, personalizing dependent origination. Just makes it harder and harder and harder for you to see the truth because you're constantly being swindled by a relative truth. It's not about putting anyone in jail or blaming. Don't carry the delusion further by having your own personalized delusion interrupter. Don't do anything with it. Receive it. And if you're really receiving, then you can't help but function in an enlightened, uplifted, and compassionate way with the relatively based and imprisoned other or world. Go ahead.
Bien bowing. So what does being direct have to do with others first?
What does being direct have to do with others first?
Yeah.
What do you think? Was that cup say bitches be lazy?
Basically.
Oh, witches be lazy. Witches be lazy.
Crazy.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the correction.
Yeah.
Two words I got wrong. Yes. Are you flirting with me? You catch that? So ask me that question again. I will endeavor to be as direct as possible.
Bien bowing. What does others first have to do with being direct?
Got it. So when you are direct, you can't be direct and still nurture the ego. So being direct just means that your relationship with everyone is automatically putting them first. So there won't be some kind of agenda of ego trying to show up with credentials. I've been putting other people first. You really realize how many times I've done Tonglen for you today? Have you had anybody say that to you?
No.
Well, I have. One of my former inmates. I guess I didn't tell anybody I was in prison, did I? Oh, well, it goes by a different name. It's called marriage. You're welcome. You should say thank you for that.
Shishi Alachu.
Mukherjee. So, did you see that when I'm saying you asked me a question about directness, and what was the other end of that? Being
others first.
Others first. You can't help it if you're direct. Then that it's too fast, it's too immediate with this body mind construct called a human being. If you're just direct, even if it's direct to shout at someone, even if it's direct to very direct to respond to what someone said, if it's direct, then it's genuine and it's without a self. But if there's no mind training, then 30 seconds later or less, 2 seconds later, you second guess that and immediately bring in the self-centeredness and start shaking your finger at someone. The initial part is quite clear of a self and quite clear of an other that you are putting first. It's just direct. That takes some time, and it's very, very, from the point of ego, it's very untrustworthy. It feels like you're betraying yourself. Why would I do that? After what she said, why would I do that? Why would I just put her first? And that might show up as just, I understand what you're saying, when really you're mad at them. But you do understand. So you're saying the first thing that shows up is, excuse me, if you're a meditator, this won't be the first thing that shows up if you have no mind training. What will show up is how right you are, how wrong they are, and how, which is be crazy. More?
Jishin Bowing.
Jishin.
Is being direct the same as being intimate with someone? Bowing.
If you're using the word intimate as just a closeness with someone that is separate from you, then I would say so. But it's not something you can hang your hat on. It's not a strong reference point, that word intimate. It's you can talk about it, but the direct part has more sway to it as far as your mind training, as far as interacting with others. Just be direct. Directly produce and directly receive. Very difficult. Just a conversation between two people, even about a mundane topic or source or object, not source, but object. It's difficult. It's full of misunderstandings, passion, aggression, and ignorance, albeit very subtle. Further questions? Yes, sir.
Miyoka Bowing, does the directness have to come from the contact of the chain that you were talking about, the 12 links?
If you wanted to use that concept, it's just a contact. You don't necessarily go any further, but there it's very difficult to stop what comes later. So if there's the contact, if you can, it's just a contact. But if you can't, then it's the emotion that comes after that. And then after that, it comes the grasping of shoving or pulling, the seventh and eighth. Go ahead.
Miyoka Bowing, if the response comes once we've started pushing and pulling and looking away, is there a way that can be included in directness?
Yeah, that's you've said. Just said it. Just as soon as you can, as soon as you see, you might be creating, stirring up something that's just going to lead to more confusion. And just drop the fire pokers. You can say it that way. It's kind of a dumb image in a way, but it's like that. It's just back up a quarter of an inch. There's another way of saying it. From the situation that you're kind of going in with your aggressive pushing and pulling and demanding. That's the area you're asking about. Yes. You're not, it's kind of too far along. You've already struck with your feelings, your emotions, your considerations, your conclusions, your judgment, blaming, and so on. It's probably already happening. So as soon as you can just receive what you're producing, rather, because you are not going to be able to stop that, it's already underway. You've already committed the murder.
Miyoko Bowing, do we need to return to contact once that landslide occurs? Bowing?
Not as a standard, particularly. You might be aware that you have no reference point right there, rather than return to something else. I would say that even that, it's not a standard though, but for you, if you've been meditating for years and years, then you would have a better idea yourself of the way in which your discursive thought leads you into the three poisons for your thinking process, emotional grasping the emotions, believing the emotion. But I'm not saying you don't have emotions and they're not valid. They have their own relative validities. That's why we don't want to cover them with meditation, or anything, or thoughts, or ideas, or opinions, or judgments, or hope and fear, or blame. Don't do anything with it. Just experience that. This is what sitting practice of meditation will allow you to do, is to experience your mind, no matter what shape it's showing up in. Passion, aggression, ignorance, hope and fear, ego, self-centeredness of any kind, praise and blame, and shame, and pride. Just observe, just be aware of it. And that's really all that needs to be done. You don't have to push anything, pull on anything, or shut down on anything. You have to see that it's unreal. It's unreal. I started to add another word in there. Yeah, I don't know what the word was, not one of them. It's something like darn, or one of those. Darn it. You know, that's what my son, Takuto, is a carpenter, mason. If he's working on anything about every 3 or 4 minutes, he'll say something like, damn it. And then there'd be a big gap, and then they'd be using a saw, a hammer, collimator. God damn it. Not very loud, just loud enough so you know that he's still in the room or down the hall. Further questions? Yes, sir, Michael.
Michael Bowing, when we have an impulse like that, is that an indicator that we're believing the situation?
Like, God damn it.
Yeah.
It's not somewhat. It is, but it's an awareness practice. I have no idea what he's doing with it. It's none of my business. He's a full-grown person. It's none of my business what he's doing. I'm not his teacher. So, but I am yours. And so I would say to you, just watch that. Your question is that an indicator that? Is that an indicator that? Just stay with the expression of it. Become more and more aware as you go along of how you do not need to change that, nor do you need to include it, nor do you need to know what it fundamentally is. If you do nothing but just receive that and just notice that you're doing that, it becomes probably will become more embarrassing. The ego doesn't want to be seen to be not very intelligent. It wants to have some kind of credential, but you're not giving it much of a credential. You're giving it a credential if you push on it. You're giving it a credential if you pull or adjust or explain, or if you try to accomplish something of that, you try to not do that anymore. It's just a little bit different teaching than a lot of. I teach the 7 points of mind training, talks about, especially in the relative area, about how to use this practice or that practice to make this go away or stop this. It worked good in medieval times. It probably works good now for those that are practicing that. And if someone comes to me and says, should I read this book? Of course, study everything. Study all the Buddhist teaching, everything you can get your... Anything you can study in Buddhist history is very valuable. More? On Zoom, anyone there on Zoom that hasn't asked a question?
Jen Bowing.
Or was that? Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead, Jen.
Jen Bowing. Is receiving the same, it receiving blame that I'm outflowing, is it the same if I'm dealing with an individual that I'm blaming or an organization? Bowing.
For what we're talking about, it's kind of the same. There's a differentiation which you already know about, or you couldn't ask that question. But the thing to see is just that there's a kind of a finger pointing. You know, you're actually looking at something that's happening over here, and you're leaving what's happening, the very chemistry of what that is, what's happening for a part of it we call over there. Who did it? Who caused this? So more about that. If you can take me further into the specific way this occurred without going into too much detail about the story.
Jen Belling, I'm just finding I'm getting slightly better, which I'm afraid to say to you, at recognizing.
You're afraid to say that you're getting better.
Well,
yeah.
Just...
Yeah, I'm about to nail you right here. How dare you?
Stepped right in it. I can start to see with a little more frequency how I blame an individual. But when I try to work with something like a government, for example, I get all scrambled and I can't not assign blame.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, I get scrambled too, but it's like I sometimes use the image of a landslide. If you look at what the government is doing, you can blame individuals if you want to, but the incredible landslide from, I could go back to 1947. I mean, I could do a little bit of history, not much. You could go back, but you don't even need history. Just since the Peloponnesian Wars, which were going on roughly around the time of the Buddha, people were doing the same kind of stuff, running things, hurting people, enslaving people, building walls, doing all of that stuff. So this landslide goes on and on and on. People that are showing up here have lived before, not that person, but an aspect of their consciousness, and maybe not enough consciousness there to be an actual separate person. That's the way consciousness works. It's without a center. It's an astonishing situation if you realize that you are consciousness. You're liberated. Nothing can ever imprison you again, because there is no again. There's only this. There is no next week. There is no last week. That doesn't mean they aren't there. You can't see them or can't be, but it isn't an illusion. But you have to realize that the one, your butt sitting on the chair, on the cushion, or on the floor, that's the illusion right here. That way you can see the forward and backward quality is an illusion. So when you look at the government, obvious, but there's no one to blame. I mean, even though some people are, because they're at the leading edge of that complete insanity, that total narcissism, Trungpa Rinpoche called the Rudra of ego, which is taking over hell and has all of its helpers, hell beings. So is this, we're not talking about the Western idea of heaven and hell. We're talking about the heaven and hell that is this. We don't get rid of hell. We don't get rid of heaven. We don't get rid of anything. We if we do anything, we include this so we can understand deeply what it is without leaving anyone out. I don't care how long their wounds are. Don't leave anyone out. Nothing, all of that is unstable. The red eyes of the demons are unstable. They're not, there is no color to eyes. It's colorless. It's transcendent, to use the relative word. We have to see that. So I would say, coming back to what you're talking about, I am too. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be, have your feathers ruffled around what's happening in the world. It's just complete craziness mixed with someone who is, one minute someone is very sane and reasonable and seems to be reasonable to talk to, the next thing you know, they're voting for this guy with the orange hair. They're going in that direction. It's kind of extremely distasteful, especially the person that you know and some people say, if you're actually related to you, and you think, wow, could they possibly do that? Well, you can't see the source of this, but you can see the source here of yourself. I'm pointing to you when I do this. You can see this source. Find it. Don't settle for anything. Don't believe anything I say. You might want to consider what I'm suggesting you do. Just don't live another day without returning to your fundamental nature. And all you have to do is sit down and receive the mind. It's a receiving process, not a producing process. Any production that comes out of the Shikantaza practice, not right away, for a while it'll be disgruntled and angry and punch drunk. But just do it anyway. Continue. Don't give up. Then you can have what's conventionally called a breakthrough, which nothing breaks because it's unreal. So nothing happens. That's why it's called a breakthrough. Nothing occurs. We have no experience to that. That's why it's called realization. You can do that. I'm here to encourage you to do that, not to do it for you. So that avalanche is on one hand is really tragic and horrible. And we see all the children being murdered by someone with their political agenda. It's like people who are not received as they are, but are received as they project or believe or produce or their propaganda about everything. Ego wants a reference point. And if I find someone that is highly skilled for who knows what reason at producing propaganda, then we find lonely, ego, self-centeredness qualities in other beings that is very worried and afraid. And if they find somebody that's willing to take up the banner, they'll follow that person. Don't follow anybody. Don't follow me. Follow anybody. If somebody is trying to get you to do something over here, over there, just look closely. It's not that you shouldn't do it. It might be something like, don't buy that car. I had one of those and they're terrible. Or don't go to that car dealer. They're looking for your money, not to serve you. So you should listen to that, but look closely. Listen to what I'm saying, but look close. It's up to you. If someone says to me, meditation doesn't work, or I don't really, being your student doesn't work for me, I'll say, good luck. Good luck. Do whatever you need to do for yourself. And that does happen. Sometimes people just, as I've said many times, some people just stop coming here, and I trust them to do whatever they need to do. Some of them come back, and some of them maybe will come back 20 years. I don't know. Possible. You can take a few more minutes if there are further questions. Jishin, I'll come back.
What is the mountain top for which we can abandon what is here? Loving.
Say that again. What is the?
You said you said we abandon what is here for the mountain top. What is that mountain top?
Did I say that?
I wrote this down.
You said that.
No, you said this.
I said we abandon what is here for the mountaintop.
Yeah. Well,
if I said, which I probably did, I'm not denying, you probably have a better memory than I do, but we abandon what is in front of us for some kind of idealization. The mountaintop is some kind of idealization of purity or heaven realm or something. We abandon it for some kind of, that's probably where I was going with that. Chisho, you have one?
Chisho, not me, but I think Hyo-san has his hand up. Bye.
Where is he? Oh, the hand. That's not his hand. That's an emoji that is painted yellow. And I can see that he's actually Caucasian. Go ahead, Hyo-san. Speak your piece. He went to sleep. Okay, I'm counting. It goes on. 3, 2, 1, 0. Second 0. Third 0. Fourth 0. Fifth 0. Is that an algorithm? Who's snickering back there? Mike turned on. Okay. Go ahead, please.
Sanji bowing.
Go ahead, Sanji.
Is part of the illusion that we speak about emotions as a binary, dualistic?
Yes. Michael, no question.
Like about what is the illusion or what is unreal?
Anything that shows up. That's why I teach watch what moves. In its fundamental sense, if something is moving, a thought, an emotion, a feeling, a memory, and just your silly cell, then you get a closer view of what seems to be other, the otherness of it. Just like I'm over here, you're seeing me. The wall is there. If you sit down and observe the wall. So, but everything that arises shows up. Your thought, even your thoughts appearing in your head. If I tell you there's a out in the sunshine, Bardo, there's a 15 foot tall beehive, and it has gigantic bees, a foot long. You see it? I mean, some version of your visualization, you see it. So you can't destroy that. It's in an area of consciousness where things don't have a past and a future. They just show up. I just created that in your mind. It would be a relative way of saying it. But minds are not separate. They just look like it. It looks intensely like it, because it's so identified with this body or this body. You're not a separate body anymore. Your consciousness is in this body, but this is going to dissolve. That beehive can't dissolve. Did I get you a little closer to what you're looking for, or do you have another question?
Like a bowing. What about what seems to be outside of apparent thought or feeling? Is that also unreal?
Well, what is it? You tell me what it is.
It just seems like there's something outside of thought.
Okay. Okay. That hasn't entered the realm of real and unreal yet. So that's something you think is probably there. Well, that's called bodhicitta in the Buddhist tradition. It's just a way of talking about something you haven't realized yet, but you suspect there's something deeper that you could possibly know. Especially if you have somebody like me jabbering about it all the time. And what other kind of value is here? Coming to a building that we call a monastery or a temple, and a person in this kind of a costume or suit talking about this day after day, week after week. Why would you come here? Is it about what you're referring to? Okay. But are you going to come back tomorrow, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay, good one. That's a good one. Ride that rail. Because it isn't anything. That's the nature of the vow. Be with all things. And you'll find that is very, very difficult to do if you're seeing it as something you have to accomplish or you get a credential for. It's beyond that. That's what the intention without a goal. Of course you have a goal, be with all things. What the hell is that? How do you be with all things if all things are illusion? Go ahead.
Michael, when meditation is hard, it seems like an accomplishment just to make it to the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I meditate without turning it into a dualistic game of I just accomplished the fact that I sat?
This is so wonderful. Listen to this, what you just said. You're just aware of that. It doesn't matter. That's all unreal. You don't have to. That can go on 10 years past your awakening. You can still have that kind of crap arise and fall away in your mind. But you see that it's unreal. You no longer are trapped by your beliefs, by your feelings, by your emotions, by your thoughts, because you have returned to your true nature, which is consciousness only. So you don't have to stop. But isn't it interesting that there's this feeling that I can't talk you out of it, and that you have to stop having kind of self-centered thoughts or accomplishment thoughts. Just have to be aware of them. Because if you try to get rid of the thoughts, then that supports someone who's gotten rid of that. Yeah, so you can actually eat that. You can absorb that. You can feel that. You can be that. I sometimes say, be the crap you're trying to get rid of, so you can actually get a real strong understanding of what it actually is and what the mechanics of that negativity is. I would say that's what you're doing there, just that you can come here and sit down ask this person that question and sit there and receive this response? Does that generate another question?
It's if there's another question, it's under the misery of feeling like a failure.
Yeah, that's just first noble truth. Life is suffering. Don't accept it. Don't reject it. Don't ignore it. And then you find out what the other three are as you go along. Thank you for that question.
Deb,
go ahead.
Yes, Ghazan, what does one do? What do I do with emotions that relate to having a child that I feel is in danger and is being in some ways marginalized and perhaps safety is compromised? What do I do with that emotion? I feel as though I can't overcome it. Like I can't just look at it and see it and have space with it. Deb Bowing.
So I don't know the situation, all the stories around it or who it is or what your relationship is. I don't need to, but I can tell you from knowing you a little bit and from hearing the way you asked the question, and I would have one question to, are you sitting? Are you doing sitting?
Yes, I am.
And this is not a credential, but every day?
Most days, Deb Bowing.
Well, I'm not going to suggest to you how long, but try to get to that cushion every day. That's something I did not do, and it would have been very helpful to me to know that even if I only had 10 minutes, and I did some of this. That's how I'm able to teach it. But get there and follow the form. Strike the bell. Make it a form. It doesn't have to be Buddhism. You've not received vows formally, but you've been showing up here for years, and so here you are. Sit down, hold still. Strike the bell. Watch the mind come and go for 10 minutes, strike the bell again, get up and bow if that's what you do, and then get up and go and continue to live and continue to observe those feelings around that. If this person is in danger or something, then you may have to step out of your safety zone into helping that person. But I would be very hesitant about doing too much at all. But I would be also, as much as you can, receive what's going on there. Try to see it with your senses, with all of, not just thinking and feeling, but also seeing, hearing, as far as you can, much as you can. Yes.
Thank you, Deb Bowing.
You're welcome. Yes.
Beyond Bowing, how is the separation between trigger and how I think and feel created and maintained?
So the trigger is just an event. I'm going to simplify it a little bit. You're doing whatever. You're sitting on the porch and someone comes and interacts with you. Or it could be even something you trigger yourself. But let's say someone comes and acts with you in a certain way over 2 or 3 minutes. And then that triggers emotions that arise in you. With me so far?
Yes.
And then just feel those. So what's the space question? Let's go back to that.
Beyond Bowing. I'm thinking about trigger and response arising together and being not separate. I don't know what that is, but it's an idea that's rattling.
It can be pretty close. But look, because we generally, what happens there is we think that the trigger is the problem. We're not taking responsibility. When I say response, we're not seeing it, that it's our consciousness that is happening. And the trigger could be any number of things. Could be our own clumsiness of knocking something over on a kitchen table or something. But what occurs and our reaction to it, that's what needs to be observed and seen and not particularly believed in, disbelieved in, or ignore. And those three, that's the area of passion, aggression, ignorance. But it's not something you can accomplish. It's something that can show up if you just observe it. But the second you blame anybody for what is happening, even if they actually seem to have caused it, it's still your feelings. I'm not saying if somebody sticks a knife in you, somehow they're they're not the culprit. Of course they are, but that's getting very tightened up into the relative world. This is why we have wars. Is no one is there really looking at the nature of consciousness. Everyone is just concluding this, including that, and sending my father to Germany and getting him killed. He didn't want to go. Is there anyone to blame? No, it's the there's any blame, responsibilities everywhere with everything. And even though the Buddha was here 2,500 years ago, he wasn't listened to that much. It hasn't affected things. People tend to put things like Islam or Christianity or the words of Christ or the words of the Buddha or the words of Muhammad all in every direction and just not really look at your people that probably had some kind of idea about what needed to be done here to actually help people work with wars and rumors of wars. Or okay, well, it's a good question, but the trigger and what happens, that space, I would say, unasked question, but a little bit, I would say, just look at the space. See if there is space between those two. Do nothing about it. Make it just awareness. You're just observing that. As soon as you start acting, you stop observing. It is rare for someone to observe and act at the same time, and only a realized being can do that. And is there, can a realized being do that? No, not exactly, because there isn't anyone there anymore. Yes, sir.
Michael Bowling, is there a difference between 10 hours of meditation and 4 hours of meditation?
Yes. About 6 hours. And I don't do numbers, am I right? Is that right? No, silly response, but it's a good question. I think it's very conditional, and it's there's so many variables there. So many different things with each person and how long they've been meditating before that time. And are they going to continue to meditate? And what actually, how did they handle what was occurring in that 4 hours or that 10 hours? If you're like Mozuku is in a 2-week solitary retreat out in the retreat at Shugyuan. And I think she's halfway through this week, isn't she? So she's got another week yet. So I will have a midway. She requested a midway interview. So I will be talking to her this afternoon, I think. Is that true?
Tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. But I don't know. She'll bring whatever to me and we'll talk about it. So she's sitting 8 hours a day. But people do go out there and sit 10 hours a day. If they say they want to do that, then I'm not against that. They want to.
Well, Michael Bowling, I said 10 minutes.
I thought you said 4 hours.
Is there a difference between a very brief meditation and a longer meditation?
Oh, that makes my comment not funny at all. Or maybe it's funnier. Or maybe it's not. There's always going to be some difference between, there's a lot of difference between someone meditating 10 minutes this day and 10 minutes the next day, or 4 hours this day and 4 hours the next day. So the differentiation there is just extreme. It's just, even though it might look kind of like the same thing or a little bit different, but we're not sure exactly how it's different. But if you're saying, where I think you're going with it, I would say what's important is the consistency. Get to the cushion. If you can get there, we've talked a little bit about it. Just get there, strike the bell, sit there for a minute. Don't even time it. Sit there. The important thing is go to the stillness. Go to the silence. And strike the bell and then get up and go back to the rest of your life. It won't feel like anything particularly fancy or different, but it's powerful in terms of consciousness. Where you will realize your true nature is way below. It's so far from ego that ego can't find it. And if it tries to find it, it just runs out of energy because ego's only style is what? Running in circles. And whereas awakening, direct, right into it. But once you go into that, you never return because you can't. It's not a destination. It's this. This. You leave this to come back to this, like the ox herding teacher, ox herding teachings end up back in the marketplace through 10 stages. Go away and go do this and do that, and then come back to the relative truth. One.
Michael Bowing, is there more value in having a time frame daily, like from 7 p.m. to 7:10 p.m., or just taking the 10 minutes when it seems like it's time to do it?
I think it's very situational that everybody's going to relate to this. If you have family, if you're living alone, or if you have a 40-hour a week job or something, and it depends on how hard the job is or how, and all the other things to do with your health. And so there's just so many variables there. And I would say there's no way you can do it wrong other than just to not do it at all and wander away from the Dharma. But find some way to stay. And it's helpful if you can do something every day. It doesn't need to be much. You might just walk past your altar and bow if you have an altar. And if you don't, it might be a good idea to have a table with a Dharma book on it. I would say that would be minimum. More? Good, good, good. Thank you for asking those. Go ahead, Brian.
Brian Martin. Is meeting people where they're at a form of direct awakening?
A form of what?
Direct awakening.
It's not awakening, it's a practice. Eventually you see that there isn't anyone to do that, and there's no one to do it for or to, but that's might be a ways off, so to speak, using that image of distance that actually will be replaced by just this. There's no distance here. It's everything in space. So it's a practice. Meeting people where they're at means to listen to them, not to produce based on listening, or to give yourself a credential that you're just meeting people where they're at. If you're meeting someone where they're at, you won't know it. If you know it, this is just ego. But that doesn't mean you can't practice that and continue to return to that. But eventually the credential area starts to fall apart because you actually are meeting them where they're at. And that does not arise in consciousness like a thought of apple pie. It doesn't. It has no... There's no substance like that. Doesn't have the substance of an illusion. There isn't anything there. It's deeper than that because you fundamentally are not separate from anyone. So if you just listen to someone, then this is the closest you're going to get in interpersonal relationships, just receiving, receiving, receiving to realization without a realizer. Thank you for the question. Final question. Unless I've already said that. Did I already say that? Sonia? Did I already say that?
No.
No?
Please, no.
You have any questions? Anyone else that hasn't asked a question anymore? Yes, sir.
Is concept more solid than form?
Concepts? Well, concept is form. What's a kind of form? This is out here. Three-dimensional space, which is extremely convincing. But if you're having strong thinking concepts happening in the mind stream, those are solid. It's hard for awareness to be aware of nothing. But you can talk about it a little bit. Like if you're really tied up in your thoughts and your emotions, you won't know what's happening right in front of you because you're so swamped by that. Thinking about it, you won't really realize if a blue Chevrolet drives by. I mean, I have heard that if you hypnotize you and go back to that moment, that your memory does record that with some part of your mind that never really forgets anything, or some part of your consciousness. But we don't really know for sure what that is. People are playing around with it and hypnotizing and doing this and that. So to come back to your question, I would say it just depends on the nature of the whole thing altogether, how much emotion is in there. How emotional you are, passion, aggression, ignorance that are about that thought, that structure that tends to give it a lot of, you could say, artificial solidity, like this is real. I'm feeling this. This is why people sometimes take their lives, because it's so intense. It's so intense. They just think they can, it shows you the presumption about what this is, that you can possibly get rid of anything. You can end your life, but not a good idea, because what you're trying to get away from becomes more apparent. Then you aren't protected by the solidity of this reality. I'm right here. This will go away, which it will. So, Warren, don't believe anything I'm saying, but continue to ask questions so you can receive them, not believe them, not disbelieve them, not ignore them. Good question. More?
I think when you brought up the idea of the beehive in the bardo, you said something like that doesn't go anywhere, but contrasted that to form in some way. I can't remember how you phrased it. So I guess I'm just wondering what the persistence of that concept is in contrast to physical form.
It's pretty simple, but complicated, still complicated. So just like we're building a Buddha hall next door. A year ago, that wasn't really in mind, right?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. And then we started going that direction. And then so at some point, that will, but it's kind of like the beehive in the bardo. This Buddha hall is kind of like that. It's still an idea. But if we start to work on that idea and actually build that so that it's a solid building we can go into and practice there. Just like if you would have an intense emotional thing happen and have thoughts around it, and you, because that's giving your ego, your self-centeredness, some kind of support, you could go and actually make that a reality. Like you could move to Houston. I don't recommend that. I mean, you could actually do something to reinforce that feeling, because it doesn't feel good to have a really negative feeling with and not be able to prove how bad you feel. Some people who are really insane have such intense hope and fear and have no help. There's no help for them. I'm not saying there aren't mental health workers and psychiatrists and therapists everywhere, but a lot of people don't have access to that without money. There's no way to do that. And then there are some ways socially that you can get some help. But usually it's somebody who wants to prove to everyone how bad they feel or how much power they have or something about the mainstream. And they're willing to do like they did in several different cities. I guess there was 10 of those in the last week. Are you here?
10 what?
Murders of children. Where are you at in your mind right now? Where?
Waiting to see when we're going to end.
Oh, yeah. Getting tired? Okay. Any more?
Hi, this is Chiezan, the prior at Sokokoji Buddhist Monastery. Sokozan offers these talks without expecting anything in return. If you value these talks and would like them to continue, please visit our donate page at www.sokokoji.org. Thank you.